We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We're in season two, covering the biblical Easter eggs that we found C.S. Lewis hid within each of these 31 letters. And we're in letter 27. It's amazing how it's flying by, Gail, and it almost feels like yesterday we were covering the start of season two, and here we are in letter 27.
I know. It feels like we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for a season two, and now it's almost over. So it's been fun, though. It's been fun.
Oh, really fun, because I think the more you look and find these little Easter eggs hidden in there, you can understand the impetus, and maybe that's nugget of scripture that C.S. Lewis wanted to expound as he wrote each of these letters. And I think it's so tied in there. Just before we kick into this, I've got a request for all of our listeners out there. Is I'd love you to actually go on to whatever podcast outlet that you actually listen to podcasts, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or YouTube, and start leaving some reviews for us. If you enjoy the content and you've been a listener all along, we'd just love to get a 5-star review from you. So what that does is it pushes it up in the algorithm and gets more people having this come up as a suggestion in their feed. So it'd be truly a blessing to us if you'd take a moment to go out and actually leave us a review, leave us a star rating on wherever it is, iHeart, Apple, YouTube, wherever. So digging in, Galen, before we get started with this one as well, I think it's a really good point to note to our audience about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis did not start his life as a Christian. He was not even a Christian early in his life.
Right. It came quite a bit later. He was not a guy that like grew up in a Christian home or had all these Christian influences. He had a much, you know, later in life conversion experience.
And I think what you see is when you have people who are really educated, who are very proficient in writing and very analytical and very much into the empirical, mm-hmm. you know, you could call them in today's people who put science first, that C.S. Lewis ended up becoming a Christian and then poured out in this way with obviously the Screwtape Letters, with Mere Christianity, with all of his works have a Christian theme. Even Narnia. I think there's a lot of listeners out there or viewers of Narnia who just think it's a children's tale, where it's actually
I met someone yesterday. We were talking about the book, and we're sorry to cut you off, but I had to interject here. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was talking about the fact that I'm writing a book, and they were saying, oh, well, you know, what are you writing a book about? And it's like, the book that we're writing is going to be really valuable and common sense to people when they see it. But when you try to explain it, well, I'm writing a book that's kind of inspired by another book. You had to explain. So I said, oh, it's the Screwtape Letters. It's by a guy named C.S. Lewis. And they said, oh, I don't know that person. And so he's a Christian author. He wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia. And he goes, oh, really? And I said, which is obviously a Christian work. And they said, The Chronicles of Narnia is a Christian piece of literature? I said, yeah, 100%. Aslan is King Jesus. The whole thing is like Christian allegory. And they literally, their jaw dropped and they said, are you serious? I had no idea. So it's amazing. Like you're saying, there's a lot of people that don't realize just how influential C.S. Lewis's writings were, and how even some of his popular works that are known by culture aren't even associated as Christian works necessarily, when they totally are.
Right. And I think what's most amazing about a situation like this, when you have someone like a C.S. Lewis come to the Lord, and his world changes in an instant where he views the world completely differently from this point on. And the pouring out of the combination of his empirical skill set to write and articulate words, and then with his deep dive he must have had into biblical text, and the understanding that someone like that wouldn't have wanted to just read the Bible and go, okay. He would want to understand what it meant, where it was relevant towards other areas of Scripture. And, you know, like we talked about before, the coming of Jesus is throughout the Old Testament in prophecy. And when you start tying those things together, you start to have an understanding that, okay, there's one thing to think that, this old book was written by people who just wrote it piecemeal, and someone's pieced all these different works together. There's the Gospels, and then there's the New Testament, and then there's the Old Testament books, and there's the Torah, and you've got all this, and they just piece them together, but they're really sort of disconnected. They're super connected.
Right. 100%. And a guy like Lewis has the ability to intuitively kind of make those connections, to tie it all together. And anytime he's reading something, he's observing like a deep philosophical truth that is just deeply ingrained to the human experience, and then talks about it and writes about it. And he's a brilliant mind that takes kind of the deep truths of Scripture and can wax eloquent on them. So,
in an amazing way.
Fun for us to just unpack a little bit.
So. Right. So letter 27, and for people who have been following along, if you jumped in here, go back and look at the Easter eggs that he has in the other letters. But the Easter egg in here, Galen, I really think is based within the Lord's Prayer, within Scripture, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, which is, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or in some writings, the evil one. And the Easter egg in this is one that is really powerful. It's give us this day our daily bread. It's talking about how within the Lord's Prayer, God wants us to go to him in prayer, to petition for not just sustenance and for food, but for all different things.
Yeah. So let's, can I just like set it up real quick? And
yeah, please.
See where C.S. Lewis kind of is getting this, and how it's an Easter egg here in the chapter. So this chapter 27, this guy is apparently in love, and he's a little bit distracted from the Lord, which happens in life. We end up distracted for a lot of reasons. And in this case, this guy's distracted because things are going well. He's, you know, in a romantic relationship. And that distraction is to be exploited by Wormwood to get his mind wandering, especially with regards to prayer. And Screwtape starts advising Wormwood on how he can use the ideas of earthly happiness to just distract him and distract his prayers, and also get his prayers to be focused on that sense of, like, you know, super passionate spirituality where you're only praying and if you really feel like you're connecting with God. And I think as Christians, we know sometimes we just feel a lot of moments of power in prayer, and then sometimes it might feel a little bit dry. And Screwtape goes on to make a specific point to say, kind of distract him from the fact that you have to pray when you're feeling it. You pray when you don't. You pray when in good times. You pray in the bad times. Because the enemy, he says, and here is where I'm quoting, has definitely told them to pray for their daily bread and the recovery of their sick. And Screwtape's like, so get him to not do that. Get him to get his mind away from the fact that it's a command to pray, and it's pretty simple, whether you're feeling it or whether you're not, whether you're connecting with the Lord or whether you're wandering, whether your life is good and great, or whether life is in a terrible season. Even the demonic knows they've definitely been commanded to pray for their daily bread and the recovery of the sick. And then he talks about all the ways that he can get us to not do that. But it's a command.
Yeah. Well, Galen, I actually thought this as well, where the commandment to honor thy mother and father, and this ties in because as we get older and we separate and we go on with our own life and our parents get older. And I ask a lot of people this, like, you know, your mum, dad's still alive? And they'll be like, yeah, yeah, but I hardly ever speak to my mum or my dad. And I always ask them, like, you know, why not? We have a most amazing ease of communication in this day and age. And I had a friend whose mother was, you know, declining. And I really encouraged him to reach out and communicate with his mother all the time in the same way. Like you're saying about prayer and being commanded to pray, this is our opportunity to connect with God constantly. It's not just a situation of, okay, I need something, so I'll go pray. It's a case of, like, get in there, have that relationship with God on a daily basis, pray on a daily basis, have the heart of God come to you and just fill you on a daily basis, not just every now and again.
Mm-hmm. And I also like the way he points out the fact that C.S. Lewis is painting prayer as something that's supposed to be done in obedience. And I think that is true. Like, prayer is what we call one of the spiritual disciplines. They're the things that we're supposed to be doing with our intentionality and directing our energy towards. But we don't like thinking of prayer as something we have to do out of obedience. It makes it feel like a command. But I think it's important to remember, like, every single day we're pursuing something. Every single day. It's not a command from, you know, as if we're getting some big mean command from a disgruntled boss, like, go do this thing, you underlord, you underling. But it's disciplining us to remember every single day we're going to be looking somewhere for the provision of the day. Every single day we're going to be looking somewhere for happiness. We're going to be looking somewhere for fulfillment. And the demonic knows, even Satan knows, we need to be looking to the Lord for that. And that's why he says it's daily bread. And we're praying for grace today, provision today. And it's something that we're supposed to be doing, you know, out of a high level of intentionality and even obedience.
And I love in there as well that in the idea of give us this day our daily bread, it ties into, and Lord, forgive me as well, because I'm a sinner and I want to have the heart of God, and the grace you give to me, I'm going to give to others with forgive those who trespass against us or sin against us or debtors. And I think tying those things together makes your prayer life something that isn't just a one-way street of God, I want, God, I want, God, I want, but mm-hmm. It's acknowledging that sin exists, it's a sinful world, and that you're not here to just pursue completely earthly pleasures, but that God will provide for you in a way that's going to give you the type of life that glorifies him and not just something that just fills your world with earthly pleasures.
Right. Well, and I think it's also interesting, you know, because we were talking in the pre-show how that, you know, the line is from the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, but that goes, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done up on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven those our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. But it does all connect, because sometimes our daily bread, the thing that we need today, is grace to be... give me enough grace to forgive my neighbor and get over this bitterness that I have. It's like, sometimes that's the daily prayer. Sometimes the daily prayer is, Lord, help me in a season of temptation. Lord, help me be delivered from the evil one, whatever that may look like. That the heart of the Lord's Prayer is basically, Lord, help us, help me live on earth the way I should be living up in your kingdom. Let things be down here the way they are up there in your presence, where we're fully relying on you every single day. And they do. There's all of those aspects of the Lord's Prayer really do tie together. And that's something we should be pursuing, and the demonic knows it.
And talking about the demonic, the line following that, and lead us not into temptation, I think ties back into your petition, which is, if you're asking God for something that he knows is wrong for you and will lead you astray, that having that line in there, but don't give me anything that's going to like pull me towards the evil one or towards right. evil forces.
Right.
Keep me away from that. Like, my intention may not be the best because I'm human and fallible, but Lord, the last thing I want to be is in the grasp of evil. It's such a brilliant prayer. And I think the way C.S. Lewis uses it in here is amazing, because within the story, you've got this, the demonic not wanting the patient, the man, to reach out to God and pray as the times through the war and things are getting tougher. They don't want him to have that connection. They want to keep him focused and distracted on earthly things and things that are not going to give him that structured prayer life.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, Satan's doing anything he can to thwart prayers through a number of means, but what, and I think it's interesting. One of my favorite prayers comes from the book of Proverbs, and it says, and I'm going to butcher it. It's you're going to get the GBV, the Gail Belinsky version, the Gail Belinsky translation. Basically, it says, Lord, give me enough means in life. Give me enough wealth so that I don't ever steal, or do anything dishonest and then defame the name of my God. But also don't make me so wealthy that I say, who even is the Lord? I've probably mentioned this. It's one of my favorite Proverbs. I've probably mentioned it in the podcast before. But even when we pray for things, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what we need. We have to trust the Lord to know exactly what that is, even if the answer is no.
Right.
There's things that I've prayed for and prayed for intently, and I didn't get them, only to discover a couple months later, oh, wow, I'm actually really glad I didn't get that. That actually would not have been as good. Like, I'm now a more blessed man today because I didn't get the thing that I prayed for 6 months ago.
And again, I've even had that happen in a situation where I was in between jobs and praying for a particular job. And I thought this thing was perfect for me. And I met a lady online. We got connected. And when we got talking, I told her that I was in line for this particular job. She was in the same industry. And she was like, stay away from it with a 10-foot pole. Seriously, it'll be the worst mistake you ever make. They actually offered me the job and I turned it down. And my wife was a little apoplectic. She was like, what on earth are you doing with it? It's really good money. And I said, look, I just trust. I've been praying on this. And then hearing from this lady as well, there was just too many red flags. And it ended up being, and so, as things unfolded, probably one of the best decisions I ever made. The fact that,
wow,
you know, I had the discernment, but it's one of those that's like, you've got to be careful because you're praying for this thing. It's being presented your way. And then I'm still praying, Lord, please give me the ability to make the right decision with this. And I really felt that God said, look, careful what you pray for, because I've put this in front of you, not to take it, but as a lesson.
But it's a good example of like how you have to pray with an open hand, because your prayer might have been answered by God bringing that woman, you know, that professional in your life and say, okay, praying for this thing. We'll meet this person that used to work for that company. And here's some other things. Because if you're praying the Lord's Prayer, you pray, give me this day my daily bread. I'm going to bring to you, Lord, the things that I want. But you also pray, deliver me from evil. Sounds like you got from an evil circumstance. What would have been a lousy job for a company that would have been more headache than good.
And that's, and it would have been a total negative for our family as well. Again, like, I pray a lot and I make sure I include in my prayers, Lord, thy will be done. Just, I want discernment. I want clarity on this. You know, let me be at peace with decisions. And I think for a lot of people who will say, well, prayer doesn't work because I've seen people pray for stuff and it never happens, and they just end up this way or that way. But they spend so much more energy wanting to prove that prayer doesn't work than looking at proof that prayer does work. And then they use, well, it would have happened anyway.
Right. But that's where I think, again, to call it like the obedience of prayer. C.S. Lewis just kind of frame it that way in this chapter. But when we do it on a daily basis, you have to, what makes it a prayer of faith, what makes it a life of faith is that we do it and we believe that God is going to use our prayer activity in bringing about these outcomes. And we have to believe that maybe you hadn't met that woman and gotten that awareness of what was going on at the company if you didn't pray in faith. And it's to me, it's a reminder of like, I might not always feel it, or I might feel like I have it all figured out because, hey, this is a great, I've got it all under control. Even when things are good, and which is why he points out, Screwtape is talking about a time when this guy feels like things are going really good. He's in love. He's in a good relationship. He's got a lot of earthly happiness. So why bother praying? That's why he's actually pointing out, actually, when things are good, we need to remember faith is when we do it, when we feel good, when we feel bad, when things are going poorly, when things are going well, when we feel like we need the Lord and when we feel like we have it all under control. What makes it faith is when we're constantly bringing it to him.
Yeah. And we get a closer relationship with God when we do pray constantly.
Right.
Something that's absolutely needed. So yeah, letter 27, I think that's absolutely the Easter egg. It is the Lord's Prayer and that line, give us this day our daily bread. It's so powerful and it's so much more expansive than it reads on surface level. So to our listeners, please get online, give us a review so we can make the algorithm reach more people and we can share this work with others out there. And hopefully it brings people to Christ and into reading their Bible more by understanding the journey C.S. Lewis went through and the walk they can go as well. So until next time, we'll see you again on the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, covering the biblical Easter eggs in season 2.